Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 180 at 18,115. S&P 500 up 20 at 2121. NASDAQ up 68 at 5132. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 4 basis points at 2.35%. Oil up 53 cents at $60.45 per barrel. Gold up $16.90 at $12.03 per ounce. Silver up 4 cents at $16.26. 3 straight days of gains on Wall Street. The NASDAQ finished up 68 points or 1.3% at 5132 and hit a new intraday record high of 5143. That tops its previous all-time intraday high of 5132 set back March 10th, 2000. The NASDAQ's previous closing high of 5106 was notched more recently on May 27th. The rally was broad-based as all 10 S&P sectors rose, with healthcare leading the way, and all 30 stocks of the Dow posted gains. We start with economic data. The consumer price index rose a seasonally adjusted 0.4% last month, almost entirely because of a surge in gas prices ahead of the summer driving season. Gas prices shot up 10.4% to mark the largest gain in 6 years. The overall cost of food, meanwhile, unchanged for the second month in a row. Stripping out the volatile food and energy categories, core consumer prices rose a much milder 0.1% in May. The cost of housing, airline tickets, and medical care all rose. Clothing prices declined. The Conference Board's leading economic index rose 0.7% in May for the second month in a row. The board says the sharp increase confirms the outlook for more economic expansion in the second half of the year after what looks to be a much weaker first half. The number of jobless workers seeking U.S. unemployment benefits fell again in mid-June, stood near a 15-year low. Initial jobless claims in the period running from June 7th to June 13th fell by 12,000 to a seasonally adjusted 267,000. New claims are 15% lower compared to 1 year ago. The Philadelphia Fed's manufacturing index increased to a reading of 15.2 in June, above the 6.7 in May. It's the highest reading since December, still down from November's reading of 40.2. Eurozone finance officials met in Luxembourg today. After 4 hours, they did not come to an agreement about Greece, so they will hold an emergency meeting in Brussels on Monday. It's difficult to get a straight story on the Greek situation. Bloomberg ran a story today including a picture of protesters in Athens, and it looked like a very large crowd. The story said the protesters were against the government and in support of the country's membership in the euro area. Meanwhile, The Guardian ran a story showing protesters described as pro-government and demanding an end to austerity measures. Well, maybe it was two different rallies, or maybe the protesters are just as confused as the negotiators. As best I can tell, Greece doesn't have the money to pay the Troika at the end of the month. The negotiations are whether the Troika will lend Greece money to pay back to the Troika, along with another pound of flesh, of course. Meanwhile, the German newspaper Die Welt said Greek PM Alexis Tsipras and Finance Minister Yanis Varoufakis might not be radical hotheads after all. Rather, their foot-dragging and brinksmanship may turn out to be brilliant negotiating. Time will tell, and sooner rather than later. Hong Kong's legislature has vetoed a China-vetted electoral reform package that had been criticized by pro-democracy lawmakers as flawed and undemocratic. Although the new system would allow the next leader to be directly chosen by voters, Beijing would retain the right to choose the candidates on the ballot. Prior to the vote, Hong Kong's government made it clear that if the package was defeated, the status quo would prevail and the chief executive would continue to be chosen by a committee of 1,200 members. General Motors and Fiat Chrysler Automobiles have turned to investment banks to help to deal with a standoff as Fiat Chrysler seeks to force a merger with GM. Earlier this year, GM's board rebuffed a merger proposal from the Italian-American carmaker, and Chief Executive Mary Barra said last week she had no interest in a combination. Barra's rejection has not stopped Fiat Chrysler's boss, Sergio Marchionne, who is lobbying GM investors to support his case. AT&T Mobility has been fined $100 million for offering consumers unlimited data, but then slowing their internet speeds after they reached a certain amount. The Federal Communications Commission said that the company misled consumers into buying plans they believed would give them unlimited ability to send and receive data, including web browsing, GPS navigation, and streaming videos. But once the consumer hit a certain level, the data on unlimited plans would be slowed down significantly. It's not unusual for phone companies to slow or throttle speeds on a network as a way to manage congestion. But the FCC says AT&T was slowing speeds until the customer's next billing cycle, even when there was no congestion. Two new IPOs hit the New York Stock Exchange this morning. Fitbit priced 36 million shares at an offer price of $20 per share. At that level, the company raises $732 million with a valuation of $4.1 billion. Univar, a chemical distributor, priced at $22 per share, raising $770 million with a valuation of $3 billion. Fitbit today up $9.68 at $29.68. Univar up $3.40 at $25.40. A driver for Uber is an employee, not an independent contractor, so says the California Labor Commission. And while the ruling applies only in California, it could have potential implications for other crowdsourced services, such as Uber rival Lyft, chore service TaskRabbit, and cleaning service HomeJoy. Classifying Uber drivers as employees could mean considerably higher cost for the company, including Social Security, workers' compensation, and unemployment insurance. That, in turn, could affect its valuation, currently above $40 billion, and the valuation of other companies that rely on large networks of individuals working as contractors. A report from Americans for Tax Fairness claims that Walmart has $76 billion stashed away in foreign tax havens, where they escape U.S. taxation. The report claims that Walmart operates 78 subsidiaries and branches in 15 tax haven countries, especially Luxembourg, where the company has 22 subsidiaries but no retail stores. Thomas Hayes, a former trader on trial over charges he manipulated benchmark interest rates, told prosecutors in 2013 that UBS Group distributed an instruction manual on fixing LIBOR to suit their trading positions. Hayes is the first person to stand trial for rigging LIBOR. Today, prosecutors showed jurors the instruction manual, entitled Guide to Publishing LIBOR Rates. Hayes told prosecutors the document was evidence that LIBOR rigging was standard operating procedure during his time at UBS. Remember when banks engaged in fraud and deceptive lending and predatory lending practices, and then after the bailouts and the housing market collapse, the banks botched the foreclosures and robo-signing and losing paperwork, and it got so bad that in 2011, a dozen major mortgage companies struck a deal with the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency to bring in independent auditors to review foreclosures and documents of aggrieved borrowers. And then that was scrapped because the bankers interfered with the auditors and there were cost overruns. Anyway, part of the 2011 deal was that the banks would clean up their mortgage and servicing departments. The OCC now says six banks did not live up to their end of the deal: HSBC, JP Morgan Chase, Santander, U.S. Bank, and Wells Fargo. So the OCC says it will impose new restrictions and try and pay closer attention. The Securities and Exchange Commission charged 36 firms today for violating federal securities law by selling municipal bonds using offering documents that contained materially false statements or omissions about the bond issuer's compliance with continuing disclosure obligations. The offending firms included familiar names such as Merrill Lynch, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Goldman Sachs. The UN has published a report on refugees, showing nearly 60 million people displaced from their homes, 14 million of them in 2014 alone, half of them children, and more than 230 million children currently live in conflict-affected areas. Not only is the number of refugees and asylum seekers today the largest since World War II, but the report also shows the fewest number are able to return home under current conditions. The largest toll stems from the four-year civil war in Syria. 7.6 million Syrians are internally displaced. 3.9 million are outside the country. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration reports that last month was the hottest May on record, and the past 5 months were the warmest start to a year on record. And that jibes with earlier reports that 2014 was the hottest year for the planet in records going back to 1880. The stifling start to 2015 may be just the beginning. National Weather Service predicts that a pattern of unusually warm waters in the Pacific, known as El Niño, has an 85% chance of persisting through the 2015-2016 winter. And this El Niño could be a big one. A strong El Niño doesn't guarantee record-breaking heat, but combined with the general trend of global warming, that possibility is looking increasingly likely. In his much-anticipated encyclical on the environment, Pope Francis offered a broad and uncompromising indictment of the global market economy, accusing it of plundering the earth at the expense of the poor and of future generations. The 183-page document, which Pope Francis addresses not only to Catholics but to every person living on this planet, includes pointed critiques of globalization and consumerism, which he says lead to environmental degradation. The Pope lays out a moral case for supporting sustainable economic and population growth as part of the Church's mission and humanity's responsibility to protect God's creation for future generations. The Pope will visit the United States in late September, during which he's scheduled to address a joint session of Congress and separately the UN General Assembly. We invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com, text, audio, and much more. You can even get a podcast. The app is free. eatthebankers.com. That's eatthebankers.com.